The scripture that I've been looking at today is Old Testamental so far. If you say, well, what about Matthew, Mark, Luke? That's Old Testamental, friends. I hope you understand that. But what we call the New Testament, those four Gospels, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that is all Old Testamental. John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets, unless you want to, I know our Lord was a prophet, so maybe you want to put him down. But the Gospels are Old Testamental. Why do I say that? Very simple. The Lord hadn't died yet. He hadn't been buried. He hadn't risen again from the dead. He hadn't ascended on high, leading captivity captive. He hadn't sent gifts to men. The Holy Spirit had not yet come. Paul and the church is Paul's doctrine. You can put that in the bank. Peter and those guys, when it comes to what the church is and how it functions, that's Paul's doctrine. So what we've been looking at so far is Old Testamental. And I think it is absolutely conclusive, absolutely dispositive of the case. Has God cast away his people Israel? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He is going to fulfill every promise he ever made to them. And in ways that are so glorious. Now we have got a New Testament case that Paul makes in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And I am not going to spend a lot of time on that one, because the fact is that you can read those for yourselves. The interesting thing is that the replacement theologians seize on certain passages in Romans 9, 10, and 11 to make their case from. The passages that they seize on is that, for example, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. You know, that kind of stuff. I understand that, Paul. I understand Paul wrote that, and that's true. But look, all that says, that doesn't say that these Gentiles have become Israel. All that says is that not every flesh and blood descendant of Abraham is going to be counted of, is going to be Israel. And when Paul says all of Israel shall be saved, which he certainly does, what's he talking about? He's talking about the remnant of Israel that come through the great tribulation out on the other side and who cry, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. They're going to be saved because they're going to turn to the Lord Jesus. That's why they're going to be saved. But many of the flesh and blood descendants are going to be lost. Why? Paul tells you they're not really Israel. They're merely the flesh and blood. Remember when John the Baptist came crying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jews came out of Israel, you know, to be baptized by him out of Jerusalem. And he said, you snakes, you vipers. He was kind of a tough guy there. You know what I mean, Joanna? You snake, who warned you to flee from the wrath that's to come? Boy, he laid the axe to the root of the tree. He said, you better bring forth fruits meet to repentance, and don't come out here telling me you have Abraham for your father. God's able from the very stones of this earth to raise up children for Abraham. Yeah, from the very dead, from out of death. So the fact is, but there's one thing I do want to point out in Paul's case, and then we will. I've got some other things that I want to get to, and we're just simply out of time. But I want you to look at Romans 11, verse 1. Romans 11, verse 1. To me, now, we are definitely into the new dispensation here, aren't we? We are definitely into the time when a lot of Gentiles are being saved. We are definitely into the time when Paul's gospel that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again is going out to the nations and to the Jews, and people are believing it and being saved. There's no question. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? It says in the King James, God forbid, the word in Greek is megenata. Megenata. It would mean something like, it's translated God forbid. It means something more like, may it not be, or, you know, like perish the thought. It's something like that. May it not be. And then he says something very interesting. Has God cast away his people? I also am an Israelite. He doesn't say, you know, I mean, look at all these Gentiles out here. That's spiritual Israel. No, he starts talking about himself. I cannot understand why he would be talking and saying these things if all of those Gentiles over there were Israel. I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now, I am telling you, this is as clear, I think, as God can make it. This word, this term, megenoito, Paul's the only one that uses it, so far as I know. He uses it 12 times, and about 6 of those times it is used in these 3 chapters here. May it not be. This particular, the 11th chapter, I think is so clear on this. It is so clear that even though I could stand up and talk here about it at length, I'm just going to recommend it to you. You go home and read it. You see what it says. But one of the things that he says in here is, in verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. It is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Gentiles. You can't possibly make a case here that the Gentiles are Israel. It's Israel, it's the Jews he's talking about. For your sakes, they are enemies. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For what? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Right. Got a couple of amens on that, but yeah. Once again, if God does not keep his unconditional promises to Israel, where does a bum like me come in? What do you... I haven't got anything going for me, but he will, because they're unconditional and God cannot and will not lie. Now, I want to tell you something. All of these prophecies in here, they're all going to come to pass. Most of the prophecy in this book has been fulfilled already. The only prophecies that remain yet unfulfilled are the promises of the end times. And they center in on the nation of Israel with one exception. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then God turns back and starts dealing with Israel, and all of the prophecies that yet remain will be fulfilled, and fulfilled literally. Amen. Now, old Hitchcock often says, and I couldn't agree with him more, they'll be fulfilled literally, but in a way that none of us could ever have imagined. If you think, I mean, they can write all the books they want about, you know, what's that series, the Left Behind series, write all the books you want. We don't know exactly how it's going to be done, but it's going to be done literally. Now, let me talk a little bit about my country and your country. It pains me, as I said earlier, to have to say this. And I know I'm thinking of old DJ over there who gave 20 years of his life to the United States Navy, a 4 was enough for me. I couldn't wait to. I told EJ I complained constantly every day of the 4 years, and then after I got out, I said it wasn't so bad. But, you know, I think that I consider myself a very patriotic American, probably to the point of being obnoxious to some people. DJ asked me earlier, what are we to do? As patriotic Americans, what are we to do about our country? I don't know, but I can tell you this, and I can tell you this based on the authority of the Word of God. I have read this Bible. I've been reading it for over 50 years now. I've read this book more than any book I've ever read, and I've read a lot of books. I have read voluminously in my life. I have read this book many times, and many of you in here have too. I see you, Brother Dan, Al, others of you here, Joe, Ted, I know, and a lot of you sisters in here. Paul, Sean, if I'm wrong on this, I want you to show me where I'm wrong. Because there is nothing that I would rather be proven wrong on than this. I've read this book, and I do not see the United States of America in it anywhere. All I see, and I've heard, you know, harebrained exegesis, you know, well, it's that eagle flying in Revelation. Oh, well, come on. How many countries in the world out there have the eagle for a symbol? The Russians and Mexico's got an eagle on its flag. Come on. The only way I see America mentioned at all in here is statements like, and the isles in the sea. What nations do I see mentioned in here by name? The Sudan, called Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, Lebanon, Syria, Assyria, which we call Iraq, Persia, which we call Iran, Moab, the Ammonites, which we call the Transjordan, Torgarma, which we call Turkey, the regions of the north, Gog and Magog, we call it Russia, Gomer, which we call probably Central Europe. These are the nations I see mentioned. Why do I see them mentioned? I see them mentioned as enemies of Israel. Israel has not yet begun to see trouble. What they've been through so far has been a taffy pull compared to what they're going to go through. Right now, and this is the thing that troubles me, DJ. It really bothers me. Bothers me. I'm telling you. Right now, the only thing that is keeping Israel in the ball game is the United States of America. Yeah. We are their security blanket. We are treating them almost like they were the 51st state. The other nations and the nations surrounding them, I have listened to what they say. Listen to what Ahmadinejad says. I have a whole bunch of quotes in here from him. I won't bother you with them. You know what they say. They consider the Jews vermin. You know, monkeys. All they can think of is to wipe them out, and they mean business. The only thing that is keeping Israel safe is the U.S. of A. or Almighty God. But He's the one who's using us right now. Most of the Jews that I know, and I know a lot of Jews, and boy, I'll tell you what, they'd better like me because I'm the best friend some of them have. They just don't know it. And you are. Most of the Jews that I know are agnostics. They don't even believe in God. And they don't, you know, they don't mince any words about it. Now, not all of them are, but a bunch of them are. They are in absolute fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel, the prophecy of dry bones. They are back in the land in unbelief. They are back in the land in unbelief. And they are in that land, they think, not because God brought them back. They're thinking in terms of the Balfour Declaration and the United Nations declarations and so on and so forth. And right now they are being upheld by the United States of America. That cannot last. You know how I know that? This book. They are going to be brought to the place where there is nothing for them to do but to look up and cry out to God. And when they do that, when they cry out to our Lord, God is the one. Read the chapters in Ezekiel there about Gog and Magog. Who intervenes directly? It's God. It's not America. What do the isles of the sea do in that one? All they say is, you've come to take a spoil. The United States of America, it's one of two things. We have got to get out of the way. We have got to get out of the way in order for Israel to be driven back onto God. And that means one of two things. This is the one I'm praying will not happen. DJ, this is what you can do. I am praying that we will not turn against Israel. If we don't turn against Israel, then what is going to happen? Well, politically, economically, in whatever way, we're going to fall apart. And it looks like we are bound intent on heading that direction right now. Don't blame the Democrats. The Republicans are part of it too. I'm very much afraid. I don't see any way around this. And the whole Western world, Canada, and already, of all things, what do you see in Europe? Anti-Semitism on the rise again. Anti-Semitism. Now, where does that leave us? I'll tell you where it leaves us. I'll tell you where it leaves this guy. And I think all of us in here. One of our, what shall we call it, callings in life. One of our missions ought to be to Israel, to get the gospel to them, and ought to be for the defense of Israel, to the Jews in general and to Israel, the nation in particular. We cannot give one inch to the replacement theologians. We've got to stand up to them. We've got to be able to show them where they're wrong. And they're not going to listen. For the most part, you know, old M.W. Gibbs used to say, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You know, I've got my mind made up. Don't confuse me with facts. But the facts are very clear out of this book. And we have got to put them out there. We have got to make sure that people understand God's not through with Israel. A long way from it. He'll break every nation on this earth first. He'll break them. And the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. That's what's going to happen. And the American eagle, it's painful. It hurts me. But on the other hand, I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I want to show you a few verses here, and want to show you some verses really out of Zechariah. One, I just want to make reference. Jeremiah talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. That's Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. The time of Jacob's trouble. It is not yet come, but it's on its way. We have got in the prophet Joel, where he talks about the day of the Lord, a day of darkness. Joel 2 and 3. But right now, let's close out our session today. I'll answer a few questions, or admit that I don't know the answers. Probably that one. But right now, I just want to look at Zechariah, one of the last books in the Old Testament. In Zechariah, and I want to look at Zechariah 12. Here's one of those prophecies that has not yet come to pass. This is the Lord speaking. Chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Look at this second verse and this third verse and in this fourth verse. I want you to look at this. This is the most extraordinary statement. The imagery here is just overwhelming. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. Now these people round about are these Gentile nations surrounding them right now. A cup of trembling. And when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem, the nations round about surrounding Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke to a bunch of Jews, when you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, know ye that the end is near, even at the doors. It's coming. Look at verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Man, this is one of the most incredible. Think of that. A burdensome stone. Jerusalem, the most fought over, warred over place on the earth. The place that all of mankind's attention is focused on right now. The place that all of the nations are trying to figure out. You know what's going on in our government up there right now? They are trying everything in the world to divest themselves of this problem. A friend of mine, I was in grad school with her. She had dual citizenship. She lived in Miami and she lived in Jerusalem, had a home in Jerusalem. I told her one time, we were talking about this, and I told her name's Lonnie Shelliff. Lonnie, I said, the man who comes to you and tells you to trade land for peace, that is the traitor. Not one square inch of that land is ever going to go to anyone but Israel. They cannot trade it away, and yet that's exactly what our government's trying to get them to do right now. Anything to divest themselves of this burdensome stone that they don't know how to deal with. Well, it's not just that we don't know how to deal with it. You know, neither do the Poles, nor the Russians, nor the Germans. And go down the list. The English, the French. All we can think of to do is to get rid of them. Maybe if we can get the right of return in, then enough Palestinians will move in and they'll get rid of all of them. What did this Helen Thomas say before they fired her about the Jews? Let them go back to Europe where they came from, she said. Yeah, got news for you, Helen. They're not but a burdensome stone. Don't you love that imagery? Isn't that just the perfect thing? They cannot carry it. It is a burdensome stone. And he goes on here and says, for all people, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And on it goes. The Lord will save, in verse 7, the tents of Judah, the glory of the house of David. This is the Lord that's going to do this. The United States of America will not. Now, One other thing. I want you to look at Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. This is the one that it is particularly painful for me to read if I just let it say what it says. If I just let it say what it says. Look at this. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. This has not happened yet. All nations. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. The word says all nations. Are we a nation? I don't know how you can avoid the conclusion here. I hope I'm wrong on this one. If I were to advise you to do anything once again, it's pray. I would dearly love to think that we can elect someone to office who is can get us out of the trouble that we're in, and particularly someone who will defend and champion the nation of Israel and so on and so forth. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for the very reasons that I've just told you. But I'll tell you what we can do. We are the people of life. We have the gospel in hand. If people want to be secure, let them come to the gospel of our Lord Jesus and believe it and be saved. If they want to put their hope in tanks and atom bombs, there is no salvation in any of that. If they want to put their hope in political parties or this candidate or that candidate, there's no salvation in any of that. We, of all people, can walk through this world as conquerors, because that's what we are. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from our Lord. Nothing can take us out of his marvelous, mighty hands. Everything with us is peace and perfection. And we are the ones who have the words of life. So what we need to do, once again, pray, pray, pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the Jews. Get out here and defend the truth of this word and give out the gospel. And with that, let's pray. Holy Father, we are those who love your people Israel. We know indeed that it's through Israel that our Savior came, that our Bible was given to us. It is through Israel that salvation has come. We are deeply grieved to see what has happened, and yet we, Father, rejoice because we have the book in hand and we know what waits on the other side. We know the glory that is coming in. We know the kingdom is coming. We know that our Lord Jesus will sit on the throne of his father David and rule with a rod of iron. And for once in this miserable old world that labors under sin, we will have one who will judge true and just and righteous judgment. And there will be peace. We say, Father, as one, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Part us now with thy blessing in his holy name.